giving a warm shout out to our new visitors? For those of you who don't know me, I'm Evangeline, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And on behalf of the church, we are so excited to have you guys with us on your seat backs. You can find these connect cards, these green cards. So you just fill it out and just all this information about yourself, and then you drop it off in the green box in on the welcome table towards the back. Or you can also hand it to one of the ushers. And this our connections team will get you plugged in and let you know a little bit more about our church. And I know with all the changes, some of you guys have questions. The ushers were passing out these cool orange and blue cards. So there's just information about the schedule. So make sure you grab one so you know where to go, what time to be here, et cetera. And how many of you guys get hungry after service? Yes. For those of you who are starved, there is lunch that is served every week after service in the fellowship hall. So you can just go to the office area in the lobby in the back. You can just purchase a lunch card and you bring that into the fellowship hall, and then that'll be a ticket into getting a warm lunch. So now for our next announcements about small groups, we're going to welcome up Karma Bruce, one of the small group leaders. Can we give her a warm welcome?
Hey guys, so many exciting changes, and one of them is our relaunching of our small group. So it's going to be starting a week from this Tuesday. Put up your hand if you already signed up for a small group or you're involved in a small group. I know there's more hands than that. Great, lots of you guys. So guys, this is such an easy thing to do. You've got your phones on you. Put up your hand if you don't have a phone. Okay, that's what I thought. So it's the Church Center app. You just click on it, too easy. Or at the back where Tara is, you can go and get a form and you can just drop it off over there. So very easy to sign up. Now, guys, everything significant that has ever happened in my life has always happened because of people. God's put us with people, and my calling, my destiny, just everything that God has stirred up in me has always been because other people have also encouraged me and called it out. So I just encourage you that this is such a significant time of us doing 12 weeks of life together in a home, eating, laughing, just enjoying each other. It's more than just connecting together here on Sunday. It's going deeper. Jesus is so much more for us together as a group of people. So I just encourage you to just get signed up if you're not already, okay?
Thank you, Karma. Yeah, so we do hope to see you guys all signed up for the small groups. All right, so can we just give our quick greeting holler towards each other? I'll give you guys about 10 seconds to just say hello across the room to one another before we start the sermon. All right, who's ready for the word? Woo-woo! I'm going to welcome up the one and only Pastor Dennis Charles Liu. So he's going to come up and give us the message this morning.
All right, good morning, guys. It's kind of a crazy week this week, and our first service here. And so last Sunday, right before the anniversary service, I was in my office, and I really felt like that the Lord gave me the passage to preach out of today, Revelation 7, 9 through 17. And so that's where we're going to be this morning. So you could turn there in your Bibles, and the title of today's message is Heaven Come Down. So Revelation 7, 9 through 17. And I wanted to start out with a little family story. Just a story about my family, and it connects in with the passage and how I felt like that the Lord wanted to speak today. So the story is of our family. We moved 6.5 years ago to Walnut, to our current house in Walnut. So we used to live before in Hacienda Heights, and in conversation at home, we refer to that house as the Tetley House because it was on Tetley Street. And so, you know, sometimes we're talking at home and talking about the Tetley House. And I should mention that only my oldest son, Silas, ever lived in that house. So my other kids, Levi, Jubilee, and obviously our unborn child, has never lived in the Tetley House. So we're at home, we're talking about the Tetley House. And then my son, and this happened a few times. And then my son, Levi, who's never lived there, he's 5 years old, he would say, I remember the Tetley House. I remember living there. And so, you know, so I would correct him, and I would, you know, gently remind him that, you know, he's 5 years old. That was 6.5 years ago. But no, he would insist. You know, he has lived at the Tetley House, and we lived there together. And so, obviously, technically, he's wrong. But I was saying to Evangeline, my wife, that that I actually feel the same way as Levi. You know, I feel like, you know, as soon as actually any of my kids were born, that they just inherit all of our story, you know, everything of our family story. And I tell Evangeline, I can't imagine, and I just feel like that my kids have been with me my whole life, you know, and I share this little story because sometimes, you know, when we read a story in the Bible, we can feel like, oh, that happened a long time ago. That was for other people. Or in this case, when we're looking at Revelation 7, 9 through 17, it's like, oh, that's of the future. And I wanted to say, you know, God wants us as Christians, as the family of believers, to own this story, that this story is our story, as in the family of Christ. So when we read Revelation 7, 9 through 17, know that this is your story too. And I wanted to mention, and I'll develop it more later, but it's not just a story of the future. It is also a story of now, of how God wants to break into our lives right now. So Revelation 7, 9 through 17, and it is kind of a little bit of a longer passage, so can we read it kind of interactively this morning? So how about if we have the men read the first slide, and then women, if you can read the second slide, and then we'll all read the last slide together. Okay, so Revelation 7, 9 through 17. Let's read it together. Men, let's read it out loud. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Women, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Let's read this together. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So just a little bit of context. So John was taken up into heaven, and he's given a tour of heaven, and he's seeing all sorts of things in heaven. He's seeing the throne of Jesus. He's seeing the four living creatures, the 24 elders, amongst other things. And specifically in today's passage, he sees this great multi-ethnic multitude worshiping Jesus. And then he sees this spectacular outpour of the ministry of Jesus on this crowd. And I wanted to say at this point that it's possible that we could check out at this point of this story of heaven, of this vision of heaven that happened to John. This is a vision of the future for us in heaven, and we could say it doesn't apply to us right now. If I can put it like this, just for the sake of illustration, we could say, this is of the Tetley House. I don't live in the Tetley House, so this doesn't apply to me. But let me put it this way. Maybe we need to become a little bit like Levi and be like, this is my story. This is a story of the family of God. And so this is my story. And not just a story of the future, but we believe in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, that this is part of my story right now. You know, I wanted to say, you know, I'm not trying to say let's be delusional. You know, this is a vision of the future, and we live now on this earth. But something that's important to us, especially in the Vineyard, is kingdom theology about the kingdom of God. right? We refer to the kingdom of God as the now and the not yet. That it's not just something that is of the not yet. It is of the future. But we also believe that God wants to break into our lives right now. And that's why Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this story of heaven in Revelation 7, that we believe that as Christians, it is our calling and our privilege, right, to call forth and press into and pray for the things in Revelation 7 that come to earth, to come into our lives, to come and break into our lives now. It is the not yet, but it is now, and God calls us to press into that, to pray into that. So let's take a closer look at what's happening in heaven so that we know what we need to pray for. We know what we need to press in for the God to break into our lives right now. So verse 9 talks about this multi-ethnic multitude in heaven. It says they're wearing white, and they're gathered together, and they're worshiping Jesus. And then verse 13 and 14 gives us a little bit of an elaboration, a little bit of a fuller description of this multi-ethnic multitude. So let's read 13 through 14. Let's read this out loud together for this fuller description of this crowd that's gathered in heaven. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So this crowd, this multi-ethnic multitude, they had been through the great tribulation. So it means they had gone through great suffering. Other scriptures in the Bible talk about how horrific the suffering was or is going to be for the people that go through the great tribulation. And so now that they are in heaven in Revelation 7, Jesus begins to pour out perfect ministry on them, and we get a description of that in verses 15 through 17. So let's read this again together. This is the description of the ministry of Jesus to them who had suffered a lot, gone through lots of stuff. Here's the ministry of Jesus. Let's read this again together. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I think you would agree this is a phenomenal list of the perfect ministry of Jesus. For the sake of commentary, I'm just going to categorize what's being said here in verses 15 to 17. This is the ministry of Jesus that's being offered in heaven. So let me categorize it like this. First, it says he will shelter them with his presence. So it's talking about his protection upon them. It says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst, talking about the provision of Jesus for this crowd. It says, the sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, the healing of Jesus coming on them. He will be their shepherd, the guidance ministry of Jesus. He will lead them to springs of living water, the refreshment ministry of Jesus. And finally, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, the comfort of Jesus. This is a picture of the future. But Jesus also put this in the scripture because he was encouraging the church for them to be overcomers and giving them hope for the future. But also, again, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it come down. In Revelation 7, let it come down. This ministry of Jesus that's offered in Revelation 7, that we would press in and pray and believe that Jesus' ministry would break into our lives even now. It is not yet, but we would press in and pray for it even now. So I was meditating on this passage this past week, and this picture just kept coming to me as I was meditating on this passage. So I want to share with you this picture and then kind of just share with you just personal journey, but there's also journey of our church in this and just how there's application in this passage for us. So here's a picture that I kept on seeing. So this is the Harvest Sanctuary in 2000. We had just purchased the property, and it's a picture that's taken from that angle, just forward. So this is the front of the room. And I think you would agree that in this picture, lots of blessing. I mean, surrounded by blessing. We had just purchased this property. But I think you would also agree that there was a long, hard road ahead and all that entailed 19 years later and what God did, but also on our part to be overcomers and to persevere. And the Lord began to speak to me just personally, and I wanted to share with you just kind of a personal story, but I'm gonna connect it in with our collective story. So when I felt like the Lord gave me this picture, and really I felt like that this picture actually also captured my life 19 years ago. Now I really want to emphasize this part before I share what I share next. I was surrounded by God's blessing 19 years ago. I had just moved from the East Coast to Los Angeles. I shared last week, if you were here, about connecting a divine appointment with Pastor Kwan and then joining out here at this church 19 years ago. So lots and lots of blessing, and I want to really emphasize that. I really want to emphasize that I'm aware, and I thank God for the many, many blessings at the time, just surrounded by blessings, just like this picture. I want to make sure I say that loud and clear before I say this next part. But at the same time, as lots of blessings surrounding me, just to be real, I try to keep it real from the pulpit, there was also a long, hard road ahead of me. I moved out here from the East Coast, so I lived all my life on the East Coast. All my friends, all my family were on the East Coast. And honestly, it was a lonely season. And when I say lonely season, I'm not talking about a couple weeks or a couple of months. Honestly, a couple or several years where it was just difficult and just it was answering my call, but challenging at the same time. At the time, I was struggling with some health issues as well. I was also just starting out, so there were some financial struggles at the same time. And as I share that, I also wanted to share, you know, this picture I feel like also captures the story of our English congregation. So again, surrounded by blessings, and part of the beauty of our story as an English congregation is we started out as a youth group. I mean, literally a youth group, you know, junior hires, high schoolers, a few college students 19 years ago. That's part of the beauty of our story, but also long, hard road. And through the years, navigating especially the cultural differences and the generational differences, the language difference, to kind of land here at this point this morning, long, hard road and long, hard journey. And I want to share this morning that, you know, for this picture, I feel like this picture also captures kind of where we are as a church right now, surrounded by blessing, but also God has us in a new season, and there's new things and new things that he's calling us to that we have to press into and be overcomers in. And in some ways, it's a long, hard journey forward too. This morning, as some of us this morning, we come to church this morning. I mean, I guarantee it, some of us are sitting there right now. It's this picture. We know, we're aware that there's lots and lots of blessings, but at the same time, some challenging things, long, hard road ahead. And I think God wants to encourage us in this, and he has a word for us in this, and about the things that we come in contact with and things in our lives, that there is a hope for the future, but God is calling us to be people, a people of God, a kingdom people that are praying and pressing in for God's kingdom to come down, for heaven to come down and break in into our lives to help us to be the overcomers that he's called us to be. So the question could be, well, how do we press in and we pray for this heaven to come down? What does it look like for us to press in and pray for heaven to come down? And I just wanted to elaborate this story a little bit. You know, for the English congregation, I was counting it up this past week, these last 19 years. For the English congregation, we moved places where we had service 6 times in the last 19 years. Right, we started out in the school auditorium in Hacienda Heights, then we moved to a storefront property in Hacienda Heights, then we met in the fellowship hall for a while, then we met in the room upstairs for a while, then we moved to the Hope building for the last 5 years, and then finally here. And lots of twists and turns to get to this spot right now. And I just wanted to be real this morning. I mean, honestly, there were moments along the way. I mean, there were several moments along the way that I think it would have been reasonable to give up. It would have been humanly reasonable to give up. And I'm not talking about having a bad day, and I'm just keeping it real up here this morning, but I'm talking about deal breakers, where it was just extremely hard. It didn't look good, and it would have been reasonable to give up. By the way, there's some of us are here this morning. We're in those kind of situations. And I'm not saying that I did it perfectly, and I'm not saying our church did it perfectly, but I want to share with you this. Very early on when I arrived at this church, I felt like God gave me vision about a coming revival. I felt like he gave me a vision that revival will come to this church, that revival will come to the city of Walnut, and it will hit the rest of the world. And when he gave me that vision, and when I say revival, I'm talking about massive salvations. I'm talking about massive amounts of people turning back to the Lord. It's a vision of actually Revelation 7 coming to this earth, coming to our lives, coming into our church. And I wanted to say, when we start actually believing that revival will come, actually believing that Revelation 7 would actually come down into our lives and into our church, that is a game changer. It changes everything. It changes how we see things. It changes how we do things. And it makes us the overcomers that Revelation is calling us to be. You know, when for this picture here, you know, I think it captures well just the season that we're in right now as a church. It's a new beginning. There's things that the Lord has for us. At the same time, honestly, I just want to be real. I had a crazy week this week. It's been a crazy time the last year and a half in this transition. But I want to share with you that I actually believe that Revelation 7 will come down into my life and will come down into our church and will come down into the city of Walnut. And that changes everything. And it changes perspective. It changes the things that we do. It changes the things that we are going to do. And I want to be real. You know, to lead into this transition and to lead into this next season of our church, I just want to be honest with you. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel equipped to do it. But I think we're going to be just fine as we believe that Revelation 7 would actually break into our lives, would actually break into our church. You know, I think it applies to our church, but I think it applies personally too. You know, sometimes I share, you know, I just have an interesting perspective, right? Being the pastor, I know some of the situations. And some of the situations is just like this. Yes, we're surrounded by blessings. But there's a long, hard journey ahead. There's challenges. There's things that are going on. It might not have been even an easy path to get here this morning. Twists and turns. I don't know if this sounds silly, but we need to be like Levi. This is not just someone else's story. This is not just some story that's going to happen in the future. It is that. And God put it in Scripture for that, to give us a vision of the future and a hope for the future. But if we start owning this story, this heavenly story, as our own, as the family of God, and saying, no, this story is my story. This story is our story. And we believe that it would break into our lives. And we believe it will break it into the transition and into the city of Walnut and beyond. Man, that changes everything. And it changes everything in our lives, in the situations that we are facing today, that we face this week, that we're going to face this coming week, that we believe that the kingdom of heaven would break into our lives. As we close out service, we're going to sing a song. Most of you guys are familiar with it, Here As in Heaven. It's talking about this, of heaven coming down. And I will lead us in a prayer for our church collectively, for heaven to break in into our lives and into our church and into this transition and into this next season. And we need to pray for that. But I also hope that we'll have just like a lot of prayer ministry today, because a lot of us need heaven to break into our lives. There's a couple of words that our prayer team had this morning. I'm just going to share a couple. There was one word about just being in the shadows, being in a large auditorium, maybe a large auditorium like this, but we're just in the shadows. And we just feel like we've been in the shadows. But we will pray for the kingdom of heaven to break into our lives. And just like this Revelation 7 talks about, that the sun would begin to shine and there would begin to be light that breaks into our lives. There was another word about recalibration. And maybe we just feel like things in our lives are just out of alignment. It just hasn't been flowing. It hasn't just been connecting. But that the Spirit, as the heaven, as the kingdom of heaven breaks in, that we believe that realignment would happen and recalibration would happen in our lives. And there was also this word about just feeling dry. And maybe you've been in a dry season, and a season of being dry spiritually or emotionally or whatever the case may be. But there was an image of a river. Just coming in, just rushing in. And so again, the kingdom of heaven breaking in into our lives. All right, so let's respond in prayer and in worship to this. So let's stand together, worship team, if you can come back up. And I'm going to first lead us in a prayer for our church, and then let's see how the Lord begins to minister to us. Can I have you do this? Just put your hands out, palms up to heaven. Just receive this, because heaven's about to pour out on us. Father, I just come as who you have called as leader in this church, but I just want to be real with you that I don't feel qualified or equipped. But I do believe in your revival, and I do believe your kingdom to break into our lives and break into our church and break into the city of Walnut and break forth into this world through us. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to come and break into our lives and our church, especially in this season. We acknowledge that we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to break into our lives. And Lord, also we come and we bring these just personal situations to you. Lord, stuff where it might seem dry, things where it might seem out of alignment, where we might feel like we're in the shadows. We say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Pour forth into us. We're just going to sing this song in response first. We'll do some prayer ministry and after. But just connect with God now. Just let heaven break it into your life, break into your ministry, break into your family. So come, Holy Spirit, let the kingdom of heaven break in. Let it be here as it is in heaven. Jesus, we pray as you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's sing this song as our prayer.